Oh, did I tell you what Chris is doing? Chris Booth.
Have we started?
I don't mind. Straight. Did I tell you what Chris Booth said? Chris Booth came in. He went, Joe, I could do with an appointment to go through my nutrition. So what day do I need to bring a Five Guys? Or I said, what time on Wednesday do I bring you a Five Guys? And I went, what time on Wednesday do you want an appointment? And he went, what do you have from Five Guys? And I went, serious, are you going to bring me a Five Guys? He went, yeah, what do you have? Like a fully loaded burger and a, is it peanut butter milkshake you have? I went, yeah, damn right. So yeah, I've got an appointment booked with Chris Booth.
To have a Five Guys.
To have a Five Guys.
That's my kind of payment.
Yeah, so, I like that.
Well, that's a good introduction. Create a Budweiser.
Well, sounds like a good afternoon session.
For next podcast.
Yeah.
So yeah.
A good way to start. Eat healthy. Just don't eat out for a set day. Let your calories sorted.
But thing is though, if you deconstruct a burger, right? If you deconstructed a burger and laid it out on a plate, put the bread bun on a side plate, what have you got?
Meat and veg.
Meat, veg. You know, you've got that. It will be classed as a balanced meal. Put it all together, it's classed as a cheap meal. Don't get it.
But I guess there's a difference in how much fat the burger and everything's got in it, what sort of meat it is, isn't it?
I might go for a Mackey's after that.
Yeah, balls to it.
Has it opened that McDonald's? It is, isn't it?
Do you know, when I came to yours on the week, I was coming up motorway and I said to Beth, I think there's been an accident, it was queuing. And it was McDonald's had opened, I didn't realise, and it was queuing from Birstall all the way up to the roundabout and all the way back onto M62 Clipslip Road.
I wonder if his gym will be queuing like that when it opens.
Well, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, isn't it?
I've not had a single takeaway since beginning of lockdown.
So that's why you've got your abs back.
I ain't got my abs back.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he have abs?
But yeah, I have, for sure. We had one from Frankie's the other night and it was lovely.
I thought you were about your abs then. I was thinking, hang on a minute.
That horse has bolted.
Sponsored by Greg's.
Not from where I'm sitting.
that horse has bolted. I had a Greg's though and I could murder a Greg's.
Other pastry shops aren't available.
Yeah, I'd go with that. But do you reckon there'll be massive queues when we open? Because, do you know what, I can't help but think loads of people are like, gym, and they'll come, they'll do a couple of sessions and I wonder if people go, oh, I can't be bothered now. You always want what you can't have.
It could be a bit like, you know, like in the beginning of lockdown when all gyms, all coaches started doing like online stuff. I did it. I did see a drop off, and it's like, I think in the beginning you're motivated, aren't you, and then drops off again.
So there's only so many times you can see a bodyweight squat perform.
I know,
that's kind of where that went.
But I can't get bored of seeing them perform properly.
It doesn't happen often. I think there'll be an initial spike of interest.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign them all into a minimum 6 month contract.
are you going to do something like that? Because we've had loads of people this last couple of weeks asking about our outdoor classes.
Yeah.
Now our outdoor classes were obviously limited on numbers, but we've done them with a view that they were for them in particular members who supported us. There were a couple of people who basically were not members, they'd do a pay-as-you-go, and I felt a bit harsh because a few of them had said if there's a space available, and that's only because we've got limited space.
Yeah.
But then we've had people saying, oh, are you doing a membership while we're on lockdown? Now I've said no to them, because if they don't want to join, I don't want to lose a space for somebody who's a member and wants to train with us. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Just because I'm going to say Village isn't open or something, you know. And some of these people like to go to Village because there's a steam room and there's a sauna. You're never going to get that here.
No.
But I can't help but think that if we give them a membership and then that means that our class is full, that's somebody who would be a member that's not going to come.
Yeah.
And because we've had like around that 300 mark of members that have supported the gym throughout lockdown. So
a lot of people.
It's a lot.
How many?
About 300.
That's unbelievable. You know, like for us really, it's been like a fight team.
Yep.
Parents.
How many's in fight team?
We've got like 15 fighters, but I'd say some of them have dropped off because of parents are like self-employed and stuff, which is fair enough, isn't it? You know, they kept it going as long as they could. And then we've just got a couple of people like Keep Fitters, and then we actually had one or two that signed up that have never been at gym before that just follow us on Facebook and want to support
us. Did you tell us you got a guy from Armed Forces?
Yeah, he's in Paris, yeah. He lives in area, and he's just followed us on Facebook and stuff. And he just messaged me saying, he just went ahead and did it and then messaged me saying, I've just signed up to a membership, I want to support you while you're closed. So that's good, isn't it? They're like proper You know,
we had some good people. Some people at start that offered to pay more. I don't know about you, but I sort of felt embarrassed, probably the right word, it was more humbled, but it was a bit embarrassed, because I felt a bit like a charity case, even though I know it's not, and it wasn't meant that way. It's like, we don't want any extra, just thank you for working with us.
Yeah.
But then there were some people who were over apologetic, that they were like, I'm really, really sorry, but I've basically been furloughed now and my wage is down. You know, if you earn £100 a week normally, and I know it's not, but now you're only earning 80, but you're over into 75, you're not going to pay £15 a month or £20 a month gym membership. Then a quid's a lot of money if you haven't got it. And I can't help but some of those people, they were so apologetic when they didn't need to be. Flip side, when we closed on that Friday, there were some people whose memberships were like a month in arrears. Yeah. So when their payment had come out the following Friday, if what they'd used, and by the Monday they'd cancelled the membership without even speaking to us. And I think, you know, at least pick up phone and tell us what you've done, because they're the ones that I just think, probably the first ones wanting to come back.
Yeah, well, I've spoke to you before, I had it, because we had, when it was leading up to it, there were rumours about this coronavirus, and I was just like, it's floating around.
I would say,
and then, the one at parents, sort of messaged me saying, so don't want to come down to the gym, he's scared of catching coronavirus. And I was like, all right, fair enough. So I'm going to cancel his membership. I'm like, oh, right, okay, no worries, it's fine. This was 2 weeks before we actually got told, and then obviously the Friday, it was boom, shut. But then, they've seen we've been doing stuff with boxers outside, can so-and-so join in this and this? And I'm like, yeah, but you wanted to cancel before because you were scared of catching coronavirus, you know, but it's hard, isn't it? Like you say, they're the ones that...
Do you have just realised, which I don't know if Mike will go in, but we haven't really been given much notice about opening.
No.
For me. I know there's lots of rumours about us opening on 20th. We were given no notice about shutting either way. And I know it all happened.
I remember it was girls only session. We just done
Friday night.
Me and Graham were in, and Lucy that's actually just done the session. She just wanted to train. And then I think Graham looked at his phone and were like, have you seen news? Gyms have to shut. And it were like there and then, bang. We normally open on a Saturday and that. And it were like, we had an inkling, didn't we? But it were a bit like...
If they knew on Friday night they were going to do it without Boris bashing, but if the new Friday night they're going to do it, the new Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been spoken about.
And the bit for us, I'm sure you were saying, but when it happened Friday night, we came up here, didn't we? And the phone didn't stop. And it was like, we had no chance. It was like, you need to shut as quick as possible. So everything that we planned for that weekend, we had to stop. We did lend a load of kit out, which ultimately kept a lot of income coming for the gym. But it left us no time to do that. And I think if we were going to shut on the Friday, if they'd have said on the Tuesday, Wednesday, it had given us a stage to be able to do it properly. And I just hope they don't do the same when it comes to reopening.
Yeah.
Because if they say to us on a Friday, you can open Monday, it's not as actually simple as that.
No.
I don't think people realise we've not even been given any guidelines yet.
That's a big thing, guidelines. Because, I mean, I've put hand sanitising stations in, but, I mean, we're a lot smaller than your gym. How are we going to do the social distance in my gym?
Yeah.
If we do, we'll be about six people.
Even with socially distance, I question now, if you in your gym, you'd be at a social distance more than you can in Asda at the moment.
Well, so yeah, because people are doing what they want.
I went in last week, the first time I'd been in, we've done online shops and stuff, and I went in, I couldn't believe that. It's just, if the virus is contagious, as they say, Asda's going to be the biggest breeding ground for it, because everyone's turned into an idiot, fighting over stuff and passing you on different ways. There's no socially distance stuff going on there at all.
Bit of an heads up would be nice though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
This has been my point lately, is they all knew on 4th, didn't they? Pubs, barbers, hairdressers, they all knew that they could open, and we haven't been given any hint. And I just hope they don't just drop it on us and you can open up Monday. I'd be like,
Your backstory for that thing that happened on radio the week with us. So I tweeted in, because did you see that document from UK Active from May?
That's quite an old document, isn't it?
It was. So UK Active wrote this thing that was then given to Public Health England, and it was basically their best practice guide for reopening gyms. So that's the only official documentation, but it was all about 2 metres and space and stuff. Now that's clearly gone out the window, because you can see what's happened in pubs.
Yeah.
So that is the only document we've got which is currently wrong. So Radio 1, I tweeted them about opening of gyms, saying if they're opening pubs, when are we getting given notice? And they got in touch, said, can you give us a number? We'll call you. And the woman said, we've been told that the gyms are opening on the 4th. We want to have an interview from someone who owns a gym, someone who's from a chain gym, like a David Lloyd. and somebody who was from a pub, and we're going to do different like news 3 minute interviews on each. So we'd done interview, didn't I? I did it walking in here. We had to do like a tour, tell them what we'd done around distancing and stuff. And it was meant to be for like the 12:45 news bulletin. At 11:30, she messaged and said they've changed their mind. Now, I don't quite understand, but I think that the BBC get given privy to what's coming so that they can prepare news stories. She said that they'd done this because of what was coming, and it changed overnight, and they didn't know why. Now, they messaged us back and said that they believe that it's going to happen on the 20th, but again, we saw how quickly it changed last time, so I don't know if that'll even happen on the 20th. But we haven't been given guidelines, so we've had a couple of people approach us about buying these glass, not glass screens, Perspex screens, like 100-150 quid a piece for them. But I don't even know if we need them. Yeah. Now, if the government say you can open on 20th and tell us on 18th, we haven't got time to get them.
And if we did need them, we'd need loads.
Yeah.
And like, unfortunately, with the structure of our business and stuff, like, without any grants or anything like that, we're having to foot the bill.
I priced up roughly how many we'd need when I went yesterday. And I reckon you need 30 because you've got a partition each side. So you're talking of, well, 3.5 grand's worth of Perspex screens that we may or may not need. That makes it really difficult. How do you do that with sparring or boxing?
We can't. I don't know how we're going to do it. But what gets me is, like, the, you know, professional boxers are training and the elite Great Britain fighters are training. They're sparring, doing pads, everything. So I'm kind of thinking, well, we must be allowed to. By the time we reopen, we must be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. How can they do it?
I think that's the most confusing thing, is we're all guessing. Yeah, like, we're all having to guess. And I understand that, because to play a little bit of like advocate, like, we've never had to deal with anything like this before. The government have never had to deal with anything like this before. So to kind of, I know everyone's guessing and everyone's looking. And I was never a believer that we were going to open on the 4th, simply because we knew the pubs and restaurants were opening. And the need to gauge the impact that that's having, and unfortunately, because of a, I'm going to say, minority of individuals, like, obviously certain pubs in certain areas have had to close, you know, there's these mini
outbreaks,
like, mini lockdowns and stuff.
Yeah, if you want, you've seen.
And it's and that's the only thing, really, that I think the reason that we probably are getting notice, or if we were given a reason to why we're not getting noticed, is because they don't know. They don't know if the pub's reopening is going to have an effect on this R number or whatever it is. But and that's the frustrating thing, because obviously you see so much conflicting data.
Information.
And that's the thing. Like, there's data from one side saying, you know, face masks don't do anything. There's data on the other side saying they do. There's data saying that it's not contagious. There's data saying it is. And it's really hard, like, especially in your game, Jack, like, working with the younger population, where they've said, oh, well, there's a lot lower risk for the younger population. And then looking at our situation with the gym, where we've got such a varied demographic, you know, and I can't help but think, like, there's got to be an element of, we've got to be allowed to use an element of common sense.
But, you know, rather than
us
use...
And people have got to be given the credit to use their own common sense.
I was going to say, that's the thing, that for us, a gym or a pub shouldn't necessarily be our responsible, because as grown people, we should be able to. If I know that my wife, for example, was vulnerable, I wouldn't go out and go to a gym or whatever. If I knew there was a chance I could text them at home. But if I feel that in my environment everybody's okay, I should be allowed to make that decision.
Yeah, I've always thought that from the beginning. Like, I just think, your adults, or, you know, all right, kids are coming to the gym, but it's the adults' decision to send them down.
Yeah.
They know what's out there. They know this virus exists. If they want to come to the gym, which a lot of people do, they want to come because they're bored, so they do want to come down. Why can't they come down? You know, especially when we reopen. How far do we have to go with guidelines and stuff like that? Because it's the same when you walk into a boxing gym before this virus. It's like saying, I want to come boxing, but I don't want to get punched. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's probably going to happen. You come into a boxing gym.
But these flu viruses, you know, if you remember back to November, December, they shut a load of schools down for what they called a deep clean. Well, that's never ever happened in my life. I believe that was something to do with this, because that's never happened
before. I thought
before.
That schools got deep cleaned anyway.
Yeah, the fact that they had to shut it down to do it. But you think how much bacteria and stuff. But then, weirdly, you see some of the doctors that have come out and said, we need that bacteria, we need those to actually help our immunities. You know, the reason that we've got our antibacterial wipes and everything now. We didn't have that as a kid. My mum had to save a cloth that she used for dish and wiping it down as long as it looked clean. But you didn't really pick up these illnesses any more or any less than you do now. So having bacteria has got to be good for your immunity. And I'm not saying that everyone wants to go out and catch COVID, but there has to be a level of interacting with other people helps with bodies.
Does we joke saying that coronavirus is probably created in the corner of our gym. So they've just been cleaned for the first time in 3 years. I think I'll put a new floor in now.
When I lived with the lads for 6 years, like the only clean room in the house was mine and one other lad's bedroom. Other three lads, they were disgusting. And we reckon there's no chance we'll ever catch it because the immunity that we've got having lived there.
Absolute solid.
Yeah, just rock solid. There's no danger of catching out. But if they're going to open schools for me, you can't keep kids socially distant. So no. If they're doing that, for me, especially with your younger fighters, I would be saying to parents, if you're out with it, we'll bring them in.
Yeah.
And I think that they need it, because I think everyone's had peaks and troughs. I'm in a bit of a trough at the moment, because I just want to get going and have a bit of normality. And kids, that say, they're going stir crazy.
I'm opposite. It was the beginning. The beginning of lockdown was, I mean, I kind of bummed around like a teenager. I just stayed in bed till 11.
Didn't really do anything.
And I was just so like, I had zero drive. And then it was only through kind of external influence, I just kind of like snapped out of it.
And then
went nuts.
In the beginning, I kind of like felt a bit of relief. I felt like I'd absolutely hammered it, you know, for so long, so many years, like, especially a lot of things that have been happening recently, and it just meant I could kind of like hide away a little bit and just step away from it. I didn't even go down to the gym a lot in the beginning until I started doing it up. It was like I just completely shut myself off for it, apart from the people. Yeah. I tried to stay in touch with people, but I wasn't bothered for going down. I thought I'd worked my nuts off for 3 years.
You just got pissed for 2 weeks.
So I just got hammered at garden.
The thing is, it was weird for me because it was a little bit, without putting a down on it, it was a little bit the opposite for me because I just felt like, what else can happen to me in space? Like, I've not had the best 12 months, and then like buying a new business, going into business with Chris, which is stressful enough. moving my business that we're kind of just ticking over, moving my business into a massive building.
Taking a risk.
And taking that massive risk,
shutting down.
Yeah, clear.
And then having to close.
Do you know what I mean? But like clearing out personal savings, limiting my own income, dropping income for a certain amount of time and then renovating a gym to a level where you're still not proud of it and you still kind of, it's got so much more potential, and then just being told, you've got to shut.
And you mentioned it earlier, Joe, about like money and like the income, like the business and stuff. So like you've gone through this period now and then you've had to completely shut, so there's no coming in. And then like I even tweeted Boris Johnson, even though he wouldn't have looked at it. I was like, fair enough, you're not opening gyms on 4th, but what we're doing about money? We got a grant at the beginning because we were small enough to get it. I know you guys struggled to get anything.
We're not ideal,
But end of the day, like money only lasts for so long when there's nothing else coming in.
I mean, the only thing that we have massively benefited from, and thankfully Chris were on this right from day dot taking over this business, and that's making sure that everyone were on payroll and making sure we managed to make use of the furlough scheme.
Yeah.
And that's the only kind of bit of silver lining, apart from the fact that I've used the last 9-10 weeks to do some renovation and DIY, but that's the only real thing that we've had that's been a benefit.
Do you know the bit that when I look at the grant scheme, I think that I'm a big believer in honesty. Now, I'd rather say the government come out and go, we don't think you're going to open on the 20th. There's no guarantee it's going to be the 1st of August. If it changes, we'll let you know.
I'd rather know that.
It's the radio silence that gets me. And I said it at the start about the build-up to being shut down. Give us 72 hours notice, not 24 hours notice.
Yeah.
Even if things change, you know what I mean? I understand things out of control. It's they're not knowing. And I had a bit of a weird chat with Tash and Beth, actually, because they didn't agree with me. At the start, I used a word that I didn't mean to. I said, I felt emasculated. It wasn't the right word. But what I was trying to say was I felt helpless because both of my businesses, went dead and just stopped. And because of, unfortunately, timings, I couldn't furlough myself in that situation. And if anything, it was going to cost us money. Mm. So you look at that from March. So my bank balance has gradually gone, and I thought, I don't know what to do. I even looked at one point going, I'm going to be an exec Uber driver. But then I thought, no fucker's going anywhere anyway. And actually, if there is a virus out there, I'm going to end up catching it, you know. But it was the fact that I couldn't do what we've always done, which is go out to work and make money. And ultimately, money makes everything. You know, you need money just to survive. And when you're hemorrhaging money, I found it really, really difficult. And it took me about 3 or 4 weeks to get my head around that in terms of, right, okay, we're not going to make money, but we can come back from it stronger. And I think that people want to come to gyms and people are going to want to get fit, because if all else, with this virus, let's be honest, you are more at risk of not just this, but everything, if you are unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the government have maybe missed a trick, and I don't want to, they've talked about those that are vulnerable. They've never said what vulnerable is. Now, that could be that you've got breathing issues, you've got asthma or anything else. But do you know what I think they should have said is, if you're obese or you've got massively overweight or you've got certain health issues, don't have to be it can be physical, do you know what I mean? I think that the government should have said, if you are physically healthy, you've less chance of getting something that's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have drove people to come to your gym and our gym.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm certainly carrying a bit of weight, but I'd like to think that I'm relatively healthy.
Yeah.
But there's some people, there were a lady on news and she, it was horrible. She said, oh, my sister's been took in, she's got COVID, she's healthy, you wouldn't have thought there was wrong with her. The lady was probably 20 stone.
Yeah.
And I thought that the news reader was never going to say, she might be seen healthy, but being at 20 stone is not healthy.
No.
Unless she's 7'2".
Yeah.
And
We could keep banging on about the argument all day long, couldn't we?
Yeah.
About the health and the fitness and like why the gym should be open, and I don't think, like you say, they aren't acknowledged that. And another thing that the government haven't acknowledged, and something that they didn't do years ago as well, is they've opened the pubs and the restaurants and stuff, and it's obviously down to money. It's down to putting the money into the economy, isn't it? Because the pubs are going to bring more money in than what gyms are.
70% levy on a keg of beer, for example.
Yeah, but what about the knock-on effect that that's going to have on policing and stuff?
Yep.
Because people are going to go out, they're going to carry on like they do, fighting, police need to be there, and do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas a gym, especially like, say, like ones like mine that have young people coming in, and it's keeping people active, and it's...
And out of trouble.
And out of trouble, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's as if they're just forgetting about that long-term... It's about money at the moment.
Well, so, and I understand that, because at the end of the day, the government, I do think they've done some good stuff, like the whole furlough scheme was really good, but I don't think they had a choice. So if you were the government, if they came out and said, do you know what, we would love to open it all, but we've got to stage it, and we make a load of money off a keg of beer, we've got to do that to get the economy going.
Yeah.
I'd understand it,
yeah,
but just be honest with it.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that is, some of the lads who train with AVT, so some of them are professional fighters, as you know.
Yeah.
They're flying out to Abu Dhabi tomorrow for UFC. So Danny Mitchell has to fly from Manchester to Heathrow tomorrow, meet up with UFC. He has to be in a hotel room on his own for 2 full days, not with anyone else, on his own.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to leave the room, he's got to have room service. After 2 days, he gets tested as he goes in and as he comes out. They're then on, I think he said there's 48 of them on an entire plane to fly to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Right, nobody else on the plane. When they land in Abu Dhabi, they get tested again. If they test positive, they're to come home.
Oh,
if they're
God.
Not, they go. They then have 2 more days on his own in a room.
Yeah.
So that's 4 days in total in isolation. So that Mark, his fighter, can fight a week on Saturday.
Right.
So he's got to go through all that. So I'm talking to some of the lads who've had to be brought into the training camp to train for Mark. Because if you're a professional fighter,
yeah,
it's great saying you can fight. You need sparring partners.
Of course you do, yeah.
But the problem is they've got is every time they leave, in theory, they need to be tested every time they
come
back.
Yeah.
So it becomes this, how do you manage that? And one of the lads was saying to me that he got offered to work outdoors last weekend, and he said it would nearly double the money what they'd normally get.
Really?
He said,
yeah.
But he refused because he couldn't do it because he didn't want to risk affecting what was happening with that camp.
Yeah.
He said, but the other thing is that the process they've got is if there's any trouble or a disturbance, they have to make sure they have the mask on.
You're joking. Yeah.
They have to make sure they have the gloves on. And if they've had close contact with someone, they have to make sure that they get the name and address so that they can do this searching. And he said, you tell me who's going to want to do that process.
Yeah, after you've chinned them.
After you've chinned them.
Yeah.
Stop being an idiot. By
yeah.
the way, can have your name and address just in case you've got
yeah.
COVID.
It's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to work.
And I know there were fights at weekend, and you're always going to have idiots first weekend out, but there were no social distancing there anyway. When you saw pictures at weekend, were there?
Well, it's gone out of window anyway, and all these protests that have been going on, and then the,
yeah.
in shopping, in Asda and what have you, in supermarkets, social distancing went out winded ages ago.
I think that's the scariest place going for social distancing anyway. Because
they've tried up near me in Byley.
Is it bad?
Mental. Absolutely mental, yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't want to offend anyone by saying this, but it's kind of like being in a different country up there anyway, with different mixtures of, you know, where people have come from. And they're kind of like, got their own laws. Do you know what I mean? So they kind of do what they want.
Right. But that in itself there, it's about... The word I've wanted to have from start with consistency, and I don't think that things have been consistent at the moment. The messaging that we've had, not getting noticed, and that's why I'd love to say, I mean, look, Jack, you said yesterday, loads of people messaging you going, is it right you're opening on 20th? If we knew, we'd say, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And nobody knows, and there were a guy on from David Lloyd, Jim's on Radio 1 yesterday, saying exactly the same. Now, I don't know how many gyms David Lloyd have got, but they're quite a big organisation, you know what I mean? Lots of them. If they don't know, we're not going to know.
We're definitely not going to know.
The thing is, let's just use them as an example, David Lloyd. Like, you're allowed to play tennis.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to play tennis. David Lloyd's is generally a tennis centre. So it's like, so what? Have they just got part of their building open? Have they got all of their building? You know, like, oh, you can go play tennis, but you can't go into the gym.
Well, that comes back to this consistency thing, because if you think that, I think cricket starts tomorrow, but they wouldn't allow cricket to take place. Well, if ever there was a sport to be socially distanced, cricket's about as much as they get. And I don't know if it were Boris or somebody else who said that the hurling the ball down the crease was going to be like hurling a ball of virus.
What a load of rubbish.
Honest to God, do you know what I mean? And that's the consistency that I think that has just gone lacking and made me question so many things. Mm. But, you know, my missus had some stats the other day and she showed us, and it were from some schools, and it was about the increase in mental health referrals.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the bit that there's going to be a knock-on effect that I don't believe the government will ever let us truly see of what this has done to certain people.
Yeah. Well, I've literally just put in a funding bid with our council, the Kirklees Council. I'm hoping that we'll be open for like the summer holidays, you know, like in August. So I've just said I'll put on sessions every day for young people aged between 6 and 18. And the main reason being, because of the time that they've had away from school, young kids are going to be struggling for that social interaction. So I've said one of the goals of that, not just boxing and keeping fit, it's actually keeping up with relationships and meeting people and speaking to them, so that when they go to school, they're prepared for it, because they've been sat at home with their mum and dad for 3 months.
Well, I don't think I'm breaking any confidentiality stuff, but our last was on a call with her work colleagues, which are schools and some people in like the health services, you know, social health services. And they were all commenting that they've never seen as many cases of lads falling out as they've had. So, without sounding too generalistic, a lot of the time it's girls that bicker, lads have a fight, and then mates after. And I think that what's happened is lads have found it so difficult, because first of all, if I take my lad, his testosterone started to kick in, certain changes. His interaction for a long time was just on PlayStation. He was struggling to release that energy that'd go. The amount of bickering and falling out that's happened. And when he has met his mates, there's been a couple of fights that I don't think had normally happened, and falling out. And I think it's because they were so...
Did he win?
Yeah, he did. There's a backstory to that, actually, as to what's okay in 12-year-old fighting. maybe we have different opinions, but when Tash said that there's been loads of cases reported, you know, in her community, of the lads having issues, because they're not used to this. You know, girls maybe spend a lot more time on the phone, and, you know, without sounding sexist, maybe do a little bit more bitching, whereas lads will have a fight, and then they're a lot of time the mates tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been able to do that.
It's really weird. Bringing this up, not weird, but timing wise, I work with through the gym and personally, I work with a mental health group called Mint in Morley, and I got the founder of Mint, Josh. He sent me a message yesterday with exactly this, where we've been invited as Mint, and I've been invited from a fitness perspective, to talk at Leeds College of Engineering, because one of the tutors has reached out to Mint because, again, young lads and mental health issues just ever increasing all the time, you know, with and without lockdown, you know, just the kind of the pressures, and not just the pressures, but the capacity, because it's without sounding harsh, sometimes it's the capacity to deal with stuff that's lacking. It's not the help as much as anything that's lacking. It's sometimes some of these lads, I know this was the case with myself, so I can I'm qualified to say it. It's the capacity to deal with stuff. Like, I were a little bit mollycoddled as a kid, so as soon as I got a little bit of a few challenges thrown my way, I kind of buckled. And I think sometimes, like, especially from a training perspective, and I know you're like this, Jack, like, you know, you graft and you pay and it pays dividends.
Yeah.
And I think that has a massive impact on mental health. You know, when you actually say, look, we'll challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually challenge yourself to something physical, challenge yourself to something mental, rather than sometimes allowing things to get on top of you. Just challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we, as coaches, from a fitness perspective, boxing perspective, I think we can have a massive impact on that. And I'm not saying everyone's in that case, you know, because there's some people that, you know, are going through some horrendous, like, turmoil. But I think no matter what, I think having access to coaches in a fitness, strength, sport environment is massive.
Yeah.
And
just
that's what should have been.
Physically
probably.
And mentally, because I don't know about, we own a gym. I can't train at home. And I'm not. So if I went in the early days when this was shut completely, I found myself in like not a dark place, but certainly a darker place, because I was like, I couldn't go up to motivate myself.
Mm.
Whereas at least if you can get out, and we were lucky because we have come up to the gym and actually done some stuff, and now we're doing a socially distanced podcast, of course. But it's like those people who've maybe had pressures anyway, and now all of a sudden, you don't know if they live on their own. How do those people feel within them? You know that pressure, it mounts inside your head, don't it? And it becomes much bigger than it actually
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And sometimes getting out, like the commute to work, the commute to your gym, that commuting time is as important as anything.
Yeah.
So if you've got somebody, let's say, that does live alone, but they normally train socially, they normally work socially, you know, they have... But suddenly now they're working from home, they're living on their own, they're technically self-isolating when they're living like a shielded person when they don't have to, but they can't socialise at the gym, they can't socialise at the work, and that's where we're
mentally
going to,
it's got to take its toll.
It's going to be horrendous. I mean, I've even said to my clients sometimes, just pretend, you know, go sit in your car at the normal, if you're working from home, leave the house to go sit in your car, even if it's just for 5 minutes, listen to your favourite song in your car, and then go back in the house to get you out of that frame of mind of working.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds really, really daft, but that, like, a 5 minute disco in your car, like
yeah.
you might normally do on your way home from work because you're elated for coming home from work, can be massive.
It's a big thing. In the beginning of lockdown, though, you know, because we didn't know what was happening, we didn't know
yeah.
we were going to be shut, did we? And that's what people would say. Do online classes or something like that. And in the beginning, I was a bit like, well, I don't really want to do that. I don't really want to go down that route.
Yeah,
we might
yeah.
be open in a couple of weeks. So I didn't know. But then got to the stage where, I'll be honest with you, like, I was missing everybody. And then I started getting messages from parents and stuff, sort of saying, oh, they're missing gym. And so I thought, I'll do the online stuff, not just for the fitness side, just so they could all see each other.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? On Zoom and stuff like that. So I think that helped for a little bit. And then I know that when I started decorating gym, I did it on purpose. I put a few pictures on, like, a story on Instagram, and because I knew kids would be looking. So some of the parents messaged me, were like, oh, you're down there tomorrow, because can so-and-so come and see you? I'm like, yeah, go on then. You know, like, so some of them, they came down to see me. But as much as, right, that might have been banned, that's not the right thing to do, I'm bothered about their mental health.
Yeah.
Like, I know some of these that did come down to see me need the gym. Do you know what I mean? They need it, so.
It's such a massive part of their life.
Yeah.
If they're there for 3 or 4 nights a week, 2 or 3 hours at a time, because some of them come before the session,
yeah.
stay afterwards. They're spending as much time there as they are anywhere
well,
else.
What, all that time they've got now. So normally they'd be at school.
Yeah.
A lot of our competitive fighters, like you say, they come before and after their own session, so they could be in gym for 3 hours on a night. And they could be there from 4:30 till 6:30 normally, or whatever, 7:30, depending on what age group they are. And now it's like nothing, everything's gone.
Do you know what that was? Don't you find that there's two extremes of everything? So I fill out social media big time through this.
Oh, I have, yeah.
To a certain extent, I don't look at a lot. We use it for work, and that's
yeah.
I'm trying to just stay focused on using it for that, because I feel that it adds fuel to whatever fires inside you
yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, you're
but
angry
also,
about something.
You end up angry and, you know, spitting feathers and stuff, but then at the same time, you read stuff and you can't help but get drawn in. And it's an horrible thing, and it's made me realise, like, I have screen time still for kids' phones. I don't stop up, but I want them to see how much is on it.
Mm.
And I think there were a point about 3 weeks in where my screen time were like 9 hours for a game.
That's 9 hours of your life.
Well, that's what worked. Now, some of that was because people were messaging us.
Yeah,
and
which
a lot
is
of,
fair enough.
Like, can I borrow this? Can we borrow some dumbbells? And we did loads of that. So it spiked. But I just thought, 9 hours, that, you know, that, how do I find that back? It's such a long time.
Yeah.
But then you look at the stuff that you see, and obviously the way social media works, if you've looked at one thread, it follows you to another.
You're getting that hole, don't you?
You end up down this rabbit warren of the whole world's against me, and I can't help but think, you know, some of the stuff without getting into BLM and everything else, because I don't want to get controversial.
That'd be another podcast.
But I can't help but think some of this has come through. It's, you know, people's frustrations, justified in a lot of cases, has because everybody's been in this same situation, and it's just fueled the fire that was probably already there, but maybe to an extreme that wouldn't have happened before.
Yeah.
And I'm not qualified enough to say whether that's a good or a bad thing, but I just think that the world has become such an unusual place that none of us are equipped to talk about.
Really strange. I spoke to a judge not long ago who deals with like young people's sentences, and I was talking to her because I knew she'd done a lot of stuff in her community, like a bit like what we're doing, so I wanted some advice from her and maybe a way of working together. And she highlighted like years ago when the government cut money, you know, for like young people's like youth clubs and stuff like that, and the knock-on effect that's having now.
Yeah.
So you've got like 19-year-old lads, 20-year-old lads that are out causing havoc because they didn't have that sort of, them clubs when they were 10, 11. So she said to me on the phone, she says, I'm worried about the knock-on effect that this is going to have in 5-6 years, you know, this period of time.
Now, yeah.
Where young people have got all this anger or whatever, or they're not getting that social interaction. How's that going to affect them further down the line? I thought really interesting listening to
talk
about
one of those people then hasn't had that chance to come and release their energy in a boxing gym, and then throws a punch when maybe they wouldn't have done if they'd been. And that's not to say it's right, but you can cause someone damage, and that kid falls its head on a curb.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you've then got a poor kid who's lost his life and the family that's destroyed. You've then got a kid who's done something that he'll never be the same because of what's happened. And ultimately, that's somebody in a system. And we know that once people get into that process and that system, it's really, really difficult to get out at times, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think with you know, media, it's been important. You think that I saw what happened with some of the kids, and certainly with Beth, when she was on Zoom, she couldn't have got any further away from camera. She were like, talk about social distance, she was about 8 metres away from camera. But as she did it more and more, I think they all became more comfortable.
Yeah,
with it.
They did.
So
that
was a positive that came out of this time.
Yeah. Different ways of communicating. Because I'd leave them. I'd say, because on with Zoom, you could leave one of them, the host, and I'd just say, do you all want to sit and chat? Because they probably don't want me there all the time.
Yeah.
It's same in gym. You know that they don't want you listening to everything, so you just sort of stand away, let them crack on. You know what I mean? So I just did that with Zoom, and I think at least they got a way of sort of talking to each other. Because I'd normally be doing that in gym.
I think
they're missing out on that.
They're missing out on it. But I also think that what you've just said there about kids. The mental health thing, we'll never know the true effect of what's happened. Even physical health, you know, I'm unfortunate enough that a good friend of mine's 10 weeks late for some cancer being removed, and it looks like that 10 weeks things have magnified to a point where they're not allowed to remove it.
Yeah.
And he said to me the other day, I'm really, really angry, because he said, I knew I were up against it, I feel like this has given me no chance at all. Now that, how many people,
that's horrendous, isn't it?
And he knows what it is. He's got a 4-year-old and 11 and a 12.
Yeah.
And he's not even been given the chance, which he already knew was going to be a massive uphill battle.
Yeah.
Relatively, he's 43. He's not in no age. And the delays around getting seen from start to finish have taken his chances. Not away, but certainly added to it.
Yeah.
How is that not a priority? Do you know what I mean? And that's the stuff that I look at and go, as we said right at the start, everyone as a human should be allowed to make their own decisions, and you live by those decisions. Because if you do something wrong, I think we can all sit and go, I fucked up there.
Yeah.
But if you're not given that chance to do it, that's not a good position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a curveball to lighten it up. What's the thing you're looking forward to most? When normal comes back.
Do you know what? I'm looking forward to just seeing people. Do you know? I'll be honest, I've been doing a little bit of training with one of the coaches. Might have been in gym, might not have been in gym. But I'm not going to say it because I might get locked up for it. But he's doing my noodling training on my own, and we're doing his noodling training on his own. So it's just when you've got people around you, I always like training around people.
Yeah.
I don't really like training on my own. I like going to classes. I like being around people. I'm used to boxing gyms, being in a gym around people. So that's what I'm missing. I sit in my gym, it's dead. Do you know what I mean? It smells too new. It's got new rubber flooring. It smells too new. I want it smelling of sweat.
Sweat,
I want blood
yeah.
on walls again. Do you know what I mean? And I want that. I want that atmosphere. That's what I'm missing. I don't even want that big influx in the beginning. I'm not bothered. You know, people will be saying, well, you need to get that money in. I don't care.
I just want your regulars.
I just want my regulars. I want to see the people that I've trained for the last three or four years. I just want them. Do you know what I mean? New customers, that's good, yeah, but if they're going to stick to it. But I just want to see the people that I've spent so much time with that I haven't seen for the last 3-4 months.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
And personally, I thought I'd be rushing for a pub. I love going to a pub with lads, you know. Sometimes it's such a... I can't say I'm that bothered for it right now.
No.
It'd be nice to go, but for me, I want to go to a pub and stand at the bar and take me with my mates. I don't want to go and have to socially distance and so on. So I think I'm willing to wait for pubs to have a level of normal for me.
I think you've got comfortable drinking at home. Not
too uncomfortable. Yeah, I ain't had a beer for 2 weeks now.
I've been off it for a while now.
Yeah.
As well, yeah.
But it's when weather's nice.
Me too.
A long time, you know.
But you know what, weather's nice.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough we've got some nice neighbours and we put a cat flapping fence at one point. You fold it down and...
Wipe it down after and stuff?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And we're socially distant at all times as well.
Plastic screen.
But it's getting people in gym and actually having a laugh, because I think those first couple of weeks of people being able to come in, even though we don't even know that, we think it's going to be reduced numbers. So me and Joe have been looking and we think 25 people at the time, which will still be quite busy in here, but we just hope that there's a tipping point financially, because we just said we've had 300 members who carry on paying, and we have generally busy time first thing on the morning at 6 o'clock, then it'll drop off, then 9 o'clock it gets busy, dinner time it gets busy,
that's the
and then
thing.
Evening
it's difficult.
So we've got to look at it from a numbers perspective, and this is what's not helping us at the moment, is we don't know how many members we need to be able to come in to certain hours to make it financially viable. Because if we have to take everyone off furlough and start paying bills, like as electric will go up and all those other bits, but if we have to run at 50% capacity, our tipping point's at about 75% of our turnover to make a profit. So if we only operate at 60% of our normal revenue, it means we're making a 15% loss. So I don't know those exact numbers yet, because again, that's what we need out of government to tell us.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for it, but I'm also nervous, because I can't help but think that if we have to open on reduced numbers and capacity, financially, it could put more pressure on us than we're in at the moment.
And the fact that we haven't got a go-ahead for launching the systems that, like, our membership management company have been really proactive.
Yeah, they have.
And they've set up. And I mean, I'm saying that it's been really proactive. I mean, we pay for this service, you know, and any upgrades, you know, eventually, I'm not kind of mincing my words, but, you know, there'll be a cost accrued to these. But the thing is, the fact that we've got these now where you can just look at the app and see how many people are training at that
brilliant.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, you can book a session on the app and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's all well and good having those provisions in place, but they've been set up again in guesswork.
Yeah.
Like, we might need it, we might not.
Same,
we
I
might
mean,
be paying for a service that we actually don't need. We might be, you know, we might, again, like Chris said, we might be able to open. We'll be fortunate if it's 25 people. If we can only take 20 people at a time, again, like, we're not going to be able to bring every member of staff back, which then means we're not going to be able to open and match the hours we were doing before lockdown.
Yeah, because we were 13 and a half hours a day, you know, through one week.
16, wasn't it?
That's 60, yeah, of course it is, yeah.
For opening, yeah.
So at that point, that's, you know, and you think about staff covering at your busy times,
yeah.
What we think will end up happening as well is you've got to have people that can clean the stations, so that means you need somebody that's going to be on the desk, and so the knock-on effect of trying to balance
it out.
You've
got to pay them, and then you've got, but you're not bringing the money in to pay them, and
yeah. And even like your other revenue streams, for example, like we've just tried to open this coffee shop. The space that's there is going to be difficult, so I don't think we'll be able to use that immediately. So your other revenue avenues have become quite difficult.
Do you get to the stage where you just think, do we stick as much to legal law, because what's everybody else doing? So do you just think, do we open, crack on, is anyone even going to sell it anyway? Are we going to get a knock on
the
door?
That's the other thing that you see. People are saying it's not law anyway.
Yeah.
The only frustration, sorry to talk over you, but the only frustration with that then is, then does that then become an insurance issue?
That's another thing,
you know,
insurance,
and then it's sort of like, so if are the insurance companies treating it as a law?
Are they
sticking to the guidelines to the absolute
letter? They're using guidelines, they are. So
that then has a knock-on effect that you kind of say, well, look, like, we can't stretch or bend or manipulate, because it ended there. But then again, it all has a knock-on negative effect to the members, because I'm quite happy to spend 10 hours here, but I'm not happy to spend 10 hours here, teach 5 classes, teach all that, and just be the only person on site, because again, we don't know the guidelines. We don't know if we're going to have to be taking people's, we don't know if we're going to have to update people's membership profiles on the system when they first walk in. We don't know if we're going to be we don't know if we're expected to take temperatures. We don't know if we're expected to do all this stuff at the door. But then obviously then these same people will still need a level of service in the gym. So again, if you're a one man band, you know, again, it's like, how can we do it without having some notification in advance, so that we can say, right, well, you know, X, Y, and Z person, you know, they need to be notified in writing that they're going to be, unfortunately, still on furlough.
Yeah.
You know, X, Y, and Z people are going to be, right, we need you back at work, we need you ready, we need you this, we need to that. You know, we need the correct PPE for that member of staff. We need all this sort of stuff in advance. So again, coming back to that point, if we get told, oh, you can open tomorrow, it's not viable for us.
No, it's not that easy, is it?
I probably won't be opening tomorrow if I get told that. Simple. I'll open when I want now. Innit? Just when we're ready, we're ready. That's the thing, we keep getting, like I said to you before, Chris, I keep getting messages from people like,
I saw some yesterday on your socials.
Is it this day? Is it that day? And I'm like, you must know more than me, because I don't know.
Yeah,
and then,
we don't. We're going by guesswork, aren't
we? That's another thing, that it's hearsay.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that...
No, that's another... Yeah, it's just another thing that...
It's just someone else, and that's why social media does you ready.
Yeah.
And everything's there that you think, oh, well... But it's one of the things that enough people say it, everyone thinks it's the truth.
Yeah, start believing it.
Yeah. As I say, when there was this supposed thing on the 4th, the bit that I got was, we knew pubs were open on the 4th, because Boris had actually said it, and we'd actually spoke to Public Health England, who said, at the moment, gyms and leisure facilities and pubs are being classed in the same bracket.
Yeah.
So by process, of you think, okay, well, we must be linked to that.
Yeah.
And then when you've got an organisation that, you know, ultimately supports the government, the BBC, saying, you're going to open, I got so excited, because I think, there's no way this is going wrong. And it shows you that then BBC ringing, go, they've changed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's how quick it's happened. So I just think until we actually do open, none of us know what it's going
to
look like.
But back to the exciting. You know what I'm excited for? Jack's next event. That's what I'm excited
for. Do you know, I was going to mention that, because I just hope that we get to do one this year.
I can't see it.
Because I
think it'll be next year now for us. You know, I'm part of Yorkshire Boxing Committee, and I know that there's other clubs that are booking on for this year, but I think they're being a bit... Well, I don't know, I think...
Optimistic.
Yeah, optimistic. I just don't think that... I wouldn't want to run a home show this year, because all the guidelines that might be in place, and two, like, if something happens at our show and somebody catches it or something like that, I'm liable. I'd rather just wait.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I just do 3 next year or 4 next year.
And
do you know what I mean?
We don't know what impact winter's going to have.
No.
Because obviously, with it being a flu virus as well, flu season is winter. So there is likely going to be, again, the nerdy scientist in me, The next spike is probably going to be, if there is going to be another spike,
is it the third spike or the fourth?
It'll going to be winter.
Can I throw an hand grenade into the room on this?
Oh, go on.
Right, I'll ask the question. Do you believe that what we've been told is as it is? To clarify, I know the coronavirus exists, right? Or COVID. It clearly doesn't. There's been people that have lost lives. I don't dispute it. Do you believe it exists in the form that we've been told? As in, that it's dangerous to everyone, and, you know, it's there, or do you think it is just another flu virus, but unfortunately we live in a world now where the media is different and it's turned it into something?
I agree with that, yeah. Like, I'm not... one of my best mates is a doctor, believe it or not. One of my mates is
a
doctor.
You've got a mate, was clever.
Yeah, can you believe that? Yeah, I've got a mate.
And he's a doctor?
Yeah, and he's a doctor.
Wow.
And
you've got someone who's a policeman as well?
Yeah.
Hey, how do you manage that?
I don't know. Well, you need one on your side, don't you?
Especially at moment, once a billion, I'll make sure once a billion.
Especially when you've got a podcast.
Where were we?
Yeah, about your mate was a doctor.
Yeah,
you got a lawyer?
I need
a lawyer. Sorry, go on.
I have It was obviously very real at the beginning. Like, I know he were worked off his feet. But then, like, now, I don't know. I just think it's a lot of things. I think the media have really exaggerated a lot of things like they have done with a lot of other things recently.
Yep. It's that scaremongering in some respects.
And I think that, and to be fair, I mean, I've been quite open with you as well, Chris, about this, but I think I have latched onto it more fearfully than I would have done if the timing had been different.
Yeah,
for
I understand,
me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, without going into it, but, like, I'm really worried about my mum. And that's the only thing.
Yeah,
and that, so for
but
the
that's
person,
your choice as a
that,
responsible
yeah.
adult.
So that's me being me, so, like, and I've said this all along to my mum and to my immediate family. Like, I mean, I didn't go. I mean, obviously, yeah, I've openly said, like, I've been up at the gym doing the DIY and stuff. But that is the only place I went. I left home, came to the gym. That's the only thing. I've not set foot in Asda for 13 weeks. I've not set foot anywhere else other than the gym. And when we've had to get specialists in for, you know, electricians, plumbers, when people have had to come in of that sort of nature, I've said to my mum, well, look, if this person is coming into the building, I'm not going to see you for a week.
Yeah.
You know, and I've like made sure, and like when I have been to see my mum, I've been in the garden, I've been so, like, hyper, like, just
vigilant.
Yeah, just really, like, and that's all because my mum's on her own, and it's like, and that's what scared me.
I get that, and that's your decision.
And I think,
that's where I'm
probably a little bit more. I've allowed the media stuff, and I'm 39 year old, and, you know, and unfortunately the way the media works is the and you've had this in your family as well, Chris, where they make a point of when these people have struggled with it.
Yep.
You know, they make a point of when the youngsters have had it, they make a point of when, you know, like the average 39 year old guy has it, and then I'm thinking, shit, I'm an average 39 year old guy. You know, and I think I've latched onto it a little bit more in terms of that, and I think I've been on that side of the fence where I've been a little bit more, well, really wary of it and really kind of standoffish with it, and that's kind of, but again, I think this is where, unfortunately, like, I do feel I've got common sense, and, like, even though you've got your opinions on the virus, you've respected my.
Yeah,
you've respected my viewpoint on it, which is brilliant, which is why, like, I think it is an exercise in common sense.
Yeah.
Whereas what, unfortunately, is the case, as we've seen over a fair few years now, it's like, you've got to look at the population on a whole. Like, if you look at the average intelligence and then think that 50% of the people are less intelligent than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard. I mean,
that's hard, isn't it?
But
that's
some,
the hardest
thing. Honestly,
that
fire thing I had on that, I can't help but think that some of the scaremongering has been done, and I'm going to really put for stupid people, because there are some people who don't have common sense. You can see it.
Yeah.
That first weekend, do you remember how busy, like, Snowdon was and stuff?
Yeah.
We're having a lockdown, and everyone went and treated it as an holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't help but think that the media has been is doing it, and maybe the government are going, we need to make this look worse than it is, because.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to physios and stuff at Pinderfields and Leeds who said, I can't treat you anymore because I'm being pulled onto the front line.
Yeah.
They've never been pulled onto the front line.
Right.
All of this stuff about PPE and everything going on, she said, I can guarantee we've got more than enough to go on with.
Yeah.
And the physios, even though they've not been allowed to see people face to face, have been doing web sessions, never been pulled onto the front line. And the lady said, we've never got past about 40 to 50% capacity.
Yeah.
So if anything, we've been quieter than we've ever been, because we've put people with what they call non-essential treatments on the back burner.
Mm.
But there's one hospital in Leeds, or one clinic in Leeds, and it's got 15,000 backlog for non-essential treatments at the moment.
Right.
So can you imagine how long it's going to take to get 15,000? Because I'm one of them, and I've ended up getting in touch with a private clinic who can do what I need for £3,500. And I thought, I'm paying £3,500 than waiting for 15,000 people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To be clear before I get to them. So I think we've been brainwashed to a certain extent. I know it exists, and I know people have lost lives. I don't want to belittle it. But one doctor who we do know said to us, but the problem is, if COVID is there and somebody has died was dying anyway, we are putting it down as a COVID-related death.
Mm.
And he says, eventually you'll see that some of the other natural deaths that you get through a year, whether it was a heart attack or a stroke, they will drop off because it's the COVID that's basically coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will show because that's what's happening. And that's the bit that bothers me. I think we're being told something that's not true.
Yeah. The media is very, very frustrating, isn't it? I mean, me and some coaches have been talking, and just this year, like, I mean, what was it, Brexit?
Yeah, yeah.
Then it was virus, then it was Black Lives Matter. Like, what's next? Do you
yeah.
know, like, they just focus on, like, a big thing at a time, don't they? And it just seems to take over everything.
They've always got an angle, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's got to be something religious. It's got to be something religion-based, I think.
Bloody hell, I hope.
Here's my conspiracy theory, that China did it, probably let something loose a little bit.
Left the window open.
Yeah, they left the window open on purpose, did something, and if it's true and everything, if it exists as we believe it is. But look what's happening in Hong Kong without getting all political. And they're then basically taking away their human rights. Do you know what I mean? And I just think, was all this done on some sort of big ploy, some big government conspiracy theory, you know what I mean, to get what they want? But that's probably one for another podcast with educated
yeah, yeah,
people,
yeah.
not us. So
yeah, that's for more intelligent people than me.
But I just want normal.
I know.
I want normal.
Yeah, yeah.
We went out for some tea on Saturday night, and it was nice. You know, restaurant struggled a little bit, you could see, because what he'd said was, they had to, in the kitchen, be socially distanced. So where you'd normally have, I imagine, chefs running around,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you almost had to have a chef who prepared a meal or did something, and then...
Yeah, it's just...
It took a while for food to come out. Food were lovely, it was nice to get out, and we had a good laugh and stuff, just four of us. But it took ages for food to come, and it were like, this is maybe the new norm, you know what I mean? That
yeah.
you order your starters and you expect it 15 minutes, it's there, it's fresh. One week from us getting in to getting served and eating, we're about an hour. Which, if I were throwing beers down...
Can you imagine having a stopwatch running?
I know, it's a long time for chicken nuggets as well.
Yeah, this is your McDonald's experience, right? Yeah. But yes, I reckon...
You just imagine him sat there, like, timing it.
I know.
But it's not here. Yeah. It's not here in 2 minutes.
I know, when it comes to the gym opening, when people are bugging him, he'll be like, ah, thank God, straight, these customers are doing my head.
Honestly, I asked them a bit when we were sat there, because we were going out for his tea at 7, I'm a creature of habit, so I like to have eaten by 6 hours. So already at 7, I'm getting a little bit angsty, and Beth were moaning before we went, why are we eating so bloody late? Mikey's like, we all get hungry, so we sat down, all of a sudden you have a little drink and everyone's having a laugh, and then you realise that I'm starving here. And Tash said there were a bit where, for 10 minutes, we all just got really angry. She said, like, table could have got tipped
arguing
over.
That.
Like, and food came out, she went, yo, went, oh.
And it was gone in 2 minutes.
Can you remember that time when I got a little bit angry in a restaurant, Chris?
Oh yeah, when you weren't allowed to wear gym gear. Yeah. It was one of them where I thought...
Well, what else do you wear then?
But Joe only wears his gym gear. And we went into what
was it best on?
So, right, so I was wearing a smart uniform. So I had a hoodie on that were logoed and branded up. It was a smart... Oh, what it... Yeah, it was. So I was wearing a branded uniform and I wore... It might have even been these Adidas pants, but they were new. So I thought, oh, I've gone out, like, smart. We walked into...
Fazenda in Leeds.
Yeah,
you know?
Fazenda in Leeds. So we went in there. I'd never been before, so
we were
really...
early bird as well. We were like 5 o'clock in.
Yeah,
evening.
Like, only
five
in
o'clock.
There.
There were only us in there.
One other couple.
No, they walked in after us.
Oh, they did, yeah.
So they walked in after us. There were only us and the staff. And this guy came over... And there's 2 points that really narked me. The guy came over, oh, you can't eat in here, sir. And I went, why? Well, you're wearing branded sports gear. I'm like, right, okay. There's no one here. I said, and we're going to be really quick. We're going
to
go watch...
We'll have to watch James Smith, you know.
James Smith talk,
yeah.
Live.
Oh, right, okay.
So I said, I'm not going to be sitting here for hours, mate. I said, I just want to eat some meat and go. And he won't have none of it. And he said, and I'm like, oh. And he said, I'll go get... my manager, so he went and got this lady to come and kick us out.
Yeah.
You know, and it were like, and I'm like, if you're going to kick someone out, do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
do you know,
like,
what, that worked there. So they had a thing of no sportswear. Now, I understand that to a certain extent in a restaurant, but common sense, they had nobody else in. The meats were clearly cooked. We were going in, we said we were like half hour, 40 minutes. And because of the sports gear, it wasn't a Leeds United football top.
Yeah,
it
was nice gear.
It
was, yeah.
He'd come from work and we were going to a sports event. It wasn't like you weren't going to get rival football games kicking shit out of each other outside. It was, he had some on, and it was like, that was where common sense just went out of the window.
Yeah.
But you handled it really well. You had to keep me calm. I was just like...
Yeah, it was one of them moments I thought, as we were going out, we were going to tip tables.
Yeah. I did nearly say something, actually, but I didn't. And then, but we ended up going to a better restaurant anyway.
Yeah,
so
we
yeah,
we did all right in the end. But
usually
that's
works
common
out
sense
like
anyway,
that.
Isn't it?
Usually works out like.
And where's the first place you'll go to eat then? If you had to go out for a meal and you could go, what's?
I don't know. Tough one.
It's weirdly, mine's probably for Zendo. I just want to go and go into a meat-induced coma.
Well, no, you go to where we went. You won't go back. You won't give
I
them
would,
your
you're
money.
You're not there. I'll put,
you won't give them your
I,
money.
I just won't
yeah,
put trainers on. I'm there.
I love Luigi's in Burstall, mate. Near the gym, have you been?
I've never
it's
been.
No,
I know
nice.
Where it is.
Is
yeah,
that right on
nice.
Corner?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
that one right on corner?
Yeah. I like that.
Because if there's...
We tend to have takeaways us. Like,
yeah,
me and Lucy are a bit like stopping. Don't really.
Thing is, if you're out all the time, I like to end it week if we get a chance to go out with four of us because we're all doing different stuff and take us out of us like normal environment because there's normal environments normally quite busy,
yeah,
so it's quite nice to go somewhere else.
I see it as a bit of a chore, get you know, getting ready, going out.
We don't really have any going out clothes either.
Yeah.
And I'll get kicked out.
Yeah. We just get kicked out the way we
I've got like four training cable hoodies and four training cable, that's all I wear.
Yeah, you don't even like it with two-stripe or Diodora, you know what I mean? They're
yeah,
ready
so you had your best trackies on.
I had my best
trackies on. You had your going out trackies on.
I had my going out trackies
these
on.
These are my going out ones.
I had my run faster trainers on.
Do you know what though? Do you remember, I don't know if you guys, well you'll be old enough, but you did, but do you remember like going into town and you had to wear trousers? Did that ever, like I remember going into town and you had to wear trousers and shoes, you could never have wore denim.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
going out in Leeds.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
this?
This is, it'd have been probably 90s. Late 90s,
yeah,
90s, early 2000s, and I know there's a few years, but I was telling Beth that you had to wear trousers, so you didn't want to go get like school trousers, you had to get as close to a jean as you could.
Yeah.
And I remember going out on a Saturday afternoon, if you went out for a few beers and then you decided you're having a good day and you'd stop out, and we'd all run into whatever, like CNA or somewhere, and buy black socks, and we'd be putting black socks over the top of his trainers. So as you walked in, because if you had trainers on, you couldn't get in any bar in Leeds.
Yeah.
So you'd go like buy a pack of three socks and you'd put them over the top of your trainers. And so if they didn't look down, it just looked like you had black shoes on. But then you'd get bouncers at a cop on for you going, oh, you've got socks on, you have trainers. No, how are you doing? That's what you had to do to get in. But I think those days have gone. So when you got kicked out of a restaurant, they were like, really?
Isn't it weird though? Like, I remember when, because I grew up in that sort of going out in that sort of like, thing, and then when my younger brother were going out, he were going out in pumps.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that we'd have
yeah,
we'd go like
that
pumps
yeah,
and Alice band, and I'm like, what? Like, what's happening?
She'd get stopped looking stupid.
Yeah.
Do you think the nightlife is still like there?
No,
you know, because I don't really go out anymore, mate. Like I'll go to pubs to pub maybe with lads now and again, and then I would go on like lads holidays and stuff, but. Can't remember the last time I went out into like Leeds, you know, for like a proper night.
I've been,
proper
but you
night
don't
out
have, one thing's changed. Remember, you used to have like, you'd go out and at 11 o'clock pubs had shut, someone could stay up until 12 or more.
Yeah.
And then you'd have nightclub. Well, that doesn't happen now because all bars are open until 2, 3
yeah,
or 4.
Yeah, you're just going
so
to bars.
So it ends up being bars with DJs where you
yeah,
stay. So I think, like, we used to go around town and you'd go in like 15 different pubs and you didn't know what you'd drunk, but you'd know that you would go, well, went there, and you go, well, one beer in each.
Yeah.
We've had a ride
well,
session.
Yeah.
Whereas now they'll go on. You know, especially if I go out with our lass, I hope she don't listen, but, you know, she'll have, oh,
she
I'll,
probably
have,
works,
I'll yeah, have one of them cocktails, and you're looking at price and going, are you joking?
Yeah.
waiting for a change out of a 20, and you're lucky if you get up.
Yeah.
So, to be honest with you, I'm quite happy not to go out in town.
Just happy with my crate of bud at home in garden, burning.
Yeah. Just burning stuff.
Yeah, just burning.
Dogs.
Yeah, burning myself and burning stuff.
But, yeah.
That's what I enjoyed during lockdown, right back at gym.
Yeah, you some fires that you had, though.
Burning rubbish.
Yeah. But let's just hope that we do get some news. But I'm going to put money on, I don't think we'll open on 20th. I think it's going to be 1st of August.
Yeah, I'm thinking August now, mate. As well.
And if not else, we might put that out on social media to stop everybody messaging saying, do you know when you open yet?
Yeah. I've had a few frustrating ones. A few frustrating.
I mean, I think from the...
What do you mean? Because people keep asking you the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
From a customer perspective, I think the most frustrating thing I've had is when the customer that won't give you any data... They won't give you a mobile number, they won't give you an email address, they're not on social media, and then they ring you and they say, why haven't I been told anything about why you show, why haven't I been, I don't know anything, I've not been kept in the loop, and I'm like,
yeah,
well, sorry, if we haven't got your email, if we haven't got your contact details, if you're not on social media, like, we're not going to be able to tell you,
yeah,
so we can't go house to house to, like, best part 600 people just to make sure that they understand that we're
yeah,
shut
yeah,
and that's the hardest thing, that's been the most frustrating thing for me as a because I am very client focused. You know, I try and over deliver where I can, but you can't always. And then when you kind of get somebody that's slipped through the net through no fault of your own, and you're just like, oh, I don't really know how to deal with this.
Weirdly though, how far do you go with customers? This isn't on a customer bashing. We've had a couple of voicemails left where people have rung up and said, hey, yeah, just wondering what you're doing about this or another, and left no name or phone number.
Yeah, so I don't know what to say.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, for Christ's sake. So I know that there's about three people have rung this gym and left voicemails. And look, without some guys sound a little bit older, so maybe they're not those on social media, but we've been emailing everyone. But if you pick up phone, at least say who it is or leave us a phone number, because I haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
And they'll be ones that moan and say that you haven't kept me up to date. I can't, because I don't even know
you
exist.
I don't know you are.
And look, we can't pick up phone. And like, one of the things that with us members, so probably my last point, when a couple of people moaned that we'd kept the memberships going, but we probably had, like, our memberships are down by just over 50% at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, something like that.
Which is fair enough, and a lot of people have been really good. But there were a lot of people that were borrowing kits, so they said, we'll keep paying.
Yeah.
People were doing classes with Gemma at home. She's still doing two classes a week. We've been doing online yoga. So people have carried on paying for those services because they're still getting some. We've had some people who are really good that said, look, my outgoings haven't changed. If anything, I've got more money in my bank. I'm happy to support you.
Yeah.
We've met a few people that emailed us and said, you've been taking money fraudulently from my account.
Why? Because signed up.
And that's the point where I'm trying to say, we haven't took anything. Anybody who said, can you cancel it or reduce my direct debit, I've done. But they've been saying, well, you should have cancelled it, gym's not been open. And it's like, if you look at any of the stories, there's email shops that have gone out to people. We've been saying, we'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But if we'd have just turned around and said, we're postponing everybody's memberships, well, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
It was simple as that. And honestly, you saw some of those emails, didn't you? And they were really arsy. And the only thing that I've took from it is we don't know what situation those people are in.
Yeah.
They could have their own pressures and they've just lashed out at someone.
Yeah. Like, well, one thing more than just one thing, but it's been quite a lot. Well, I've had people try to tell me what to do. You know, and I'm like, do you think I'm thick? You know, like, I've built the gym from nothing. Like, you know, I'll get a message in me sort of saying, fair enough, you know, like, you know, you should think about doing outdoor boot camps. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm a boxing coach and boot camps ain't my thing. But, you know, if it comes to it, like, maybe I will do it down the line. But don't worry, I have thought about that. Do you know what I mean? I aren't like just doing it for the sake of not doing it. Obviously, I've thought about that. And then I've had people say, why don't you do one-to-ones? Oh, why don't I? I've only done them for the last 5 years. You know what I mean? It's not like summer I've never thought about doing. But I'm not doing it because I'm not allowed within 2 metres and my one-to-ones are boxing.
Yeah.
And I don't want some big bloke spitting all over my face when they might have coronavirus. You know what I mean?
I've got a gym, so I wouldn't have to do one-to-ones.
I know. Yeah, well, basically, yeah. So I've kind of come away from one-to-ones anyway because I'm managing a gym. And I'm like, I don't need to do one-to-ones now because I've got a gym that gives me an income.
Well, the thing is, if you started with those one-to-ones, let's just say it was your fight team.
Yeah.
Let's just say you did one for Beth.
Yeah.
And then Harry goes, well, you've done one for Beth.
Yeah, I've got to do one for them.
So all of a sudden, then, you've potentially got 15 kids. So if you do believe the coronavirus as it is, your risk is increased.
Yeah.
All of the families increase and everything. So it defeats, but we've had loads of that exactly the same.
Yeah.
We've had people, there were work going on in here, and at one point, there were a fair few cars, but out the front. Now, part of that was because there's professional fighters who were flighting out, we've just mentioned, so they had to do it. We had people emailing us saying, can you tell us what's going on at the gym? We've seen a load of cars outside, didn't we?
To be fair, I've just been out today to take the dog out. I skipped out of the podcast to take the dog out. And there's one guy sat opposite the gym on his phone again for the second time in 2 days. Like, and I don't know if he's pretending to walk around being on phone, or if he's legitimately videoing the gym.
I'll give him a middle finger.
I don't know, but I was like, do you want to come in?
Oh. Honestly, the email that Joe saw, it says, can you please tell me what's going on at the gym? I've noticed that there's a lot of cars outside. And it, well, it's something like, are you open?
Yeah.
Like, he knows we're not open because it's all
over.
Yeah. But there were work going on because we had, like, sign writers at back. There were probably five different tradesmen at different points.
Yeah.
Plus the professional athletes who are entitled to train, but it's the questioning, and the minute that happens, it puts my heckles up, and I'm like, I don't want to fucking tell you anything.
Yeah, and another one is when I know what other gyms are doing, especially boxing gyms. I know some are open, and I'll get like, oh, so-and-so's open up road, and they're doing one-to-ones and what have you and all this, and I'm like, yeah, but they can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing what I want to do, I'm doing what I think's right, and leave them to it. Like, I do not care, because in a few years I know that we'll probably be further ahead than what they are, because they're just trying to grab 20s and 30 quids, whereas I'm trying to build some future.
Yeah, that's exactly the same principle as why we've not gone out and sold a load of new memberships for the classes or the group sessions on the morning. We want that to be for the people that have tried the best to support us over the camp, because that ultimately builds a community, and that's one good thing that's come out of this, the community feel and the messages that we've had from some really, really nice members, and some of them are new members as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
That they've really gone above and beyond. It's made me realise that, like I say, don't give in to what people tell you to do. Stick with what it is, and if you stick to your gut instinct, you don't often go wrong.
It's your values, isn't it? You have them up in your gym. You have your gym values up, and that's it.
I've noticed the gym's actually copied my values, you know.
Really?
They actually messaged me a while ago, and I'm not bothered about saying it, and they said, this poster, where did you get it made? Do you mind if we copy it? I like it. And I says, it's not that I don't want you to copy it, but the fact is, your values are your values.
They should come from
you. They come from you. So our values have been formed by our members, by the people that train there. Like, it's their words that have made them values, what I mean? That's how I've come up with it. And I've even done an article with it with Fight for Peace, and I sent him the article saying, this is how you do it. You know, like, I've read books on it and stuff, so I'm big on that sort of thing. And then I noticed they've done redone, they've decorated the gym and they've copied some.
Is it a local one or?
It's in Yorkshire,
right.
But it's not local to heat to us. But yeah, it's in Yorkshire, and I'm like, you're missing the point of the old fact of what values are.
You're missing the point.
And I'm not being funny
as a poster.
And I'm not saying like you can't copy me, but they're unique to you.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of big things come out of all this for us, is the community feel. Like, everyone, a lot of people have backed us, and I think you've been the same, haven't you? You've had a lot of backing from your members, and
it's made me realise that a lot of gyms, this is where I think we could come out of this alright, so it's a positive for us. We've never gone out for this. You think most gyms work on the premise that 75% of the members never turn up.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to end up happening is, like with the JD down road, they sold memberships to staff with £5 a month with a view that it's a 12-month contract, it's £60 a year. If you only go once, that's £60 for a session. When they open up, people are going to go, I'm dying to get to the gym, and they're not going to be able to get in, because they'll assign that many. That you're talking thousands and
you're
thousands
not
of people.
Everybody in, are you?
If you look at what we've got, that 300 are still going. Some of them don't use the open gym; they do the classes. Some are doing yoga. We've got, you know, probably another 200 that are normal members that I'm pretty convinced a lot of them will come back. And what it's made me realise is the ones we've got are happy to pay for the service that they get. They're not bothered at £5 a month down the road. So I'd rather have less members who feel comfy in the gym, paying probably a little bit more, but they know that we give a shit about them. We know them by the name. We know that we're going to give them a grenade bar on their birthday, because it's nice. Give them a shout out on social media. If you go to JD Gym, you are just one number.
Yeah.
I think when the gym's open, people are going to see that. And there's going to be a balancing act, because we need the revenue, but we also don't want to bring that many people in that would piss off the people who stayed with us.
It's dilution, isn't it? You don't want to dilute what you've got.
That's
the thing.
I've always been big on pricing like that for that reason, because like, as beginners, boxing's like 30 quid a month, but that's only two classes a week. But if you work it out, they're saving a tenner, do you know what I mean? If they're coming all the time. My point is, it's like they'll say, yeah, but I can go to DW for whatever it is a month, and I'm like, yeah, but you'll be standing on a treadmill for 10 minutes and you'll probably walk out. You get coached by proper coaches at our place. Like, you're never coming out of gym and train on your own. You're coming into a class, and that everything is based on classes, so that is why it's that much. So I've always been big on
it. And it's based on coaching, because I know for a fact, if somebody that's been to one of your classes sends you a message, you will coach them by that message.
Of course,
You're paying. You're not paying for paying for the class,
everybody.
You're paying for the coach.
The whole service.
The coach, it's the coaching, and that's what people kind of don't get. Like, we don't have like bots and automation and all this kind of stuff.
No, it's personal.
We have the amount of times that me and Chris have responded to a message, like, we've responded to the same message, and uncannily sometimes we've responded in exactly the same way. Or I'll respond to a message and say, look, you really need to speak to Chris, it's a membership thing, or it's a this, that and other. And then Chris has been like, oh, if it's nutrition, speak to Joe.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's that level of communication. And to be fair, we've said it all along during this podcast, the one thing that's annoyed us about this current situation is consistency.
Yeah.
And that's only because we build consistency
into everything that we do.
You know, like we build that into us coaching, we build that into us clients, we you know, everything's around that. People that kind of live in sort of like anarchy or treat things like chaotically, you know, like they're probably not as bothered about not knowing, but we're bothered about not knowing because we like to be on it.
Yeah, I'm probably more thinking about, to be honest, I am probably thinking more about my members than I am myself, about when I'm opening.
Definitely.
And I'm putting, I'm getting stuff in place, like pre-booking classes, we might have to, if we're limited.
You're going to have to accept that, you don't know yet.
Yeah, but I'm putting that in place, so, and I want it to be right. Am I going back and forth with software thing because I don't think it's right at the moment? I'm saying to them, the parents got to, I want it to be where they go on the phone and they just click attend, put the name in, and that be it. It's too long-winded, but I'm worried about the members, I'm not worried about myself. I'm like thinking, it won't be right, this, it'll just confuse people too much. So yeah, I'm too busy thinking about other people.
And it is hard, isn't it? Cause it, but it's weird, but I think we have spent a lot of time thinking about other people, but for me, then what if you do that, what ends up happening, you forget about yourself, you neglect yourself, whether it's for your training or your mental health.
Yeah.
And then something will happen, like I'll blow up at home.
And
you'd be like, what was that for? And it's not actually for that dishwasher not being loaded properly. I know it's a bad example, but it's for something else. And it's all those other things that you've got to be really careful for our mental health, that you're not just thinking about other people all the time, because we've got to be here as well. So, but do you think there'll be any fights this year? Do you think you'll actually get, not necessarily shows, do you think there'll be any boxers this year?
I think championships. I think if there is anything, I think there might be some championships, like the novices, the what talk that they might redo. They might, you know, we missed out on schoolboys, so they'll talk about getting the schoolboys in before
the
year.
That's such a big thing for those kids.
Yeah, of course it is. It's like, you know, everyone's, well, we spoke about it before, but everyone's had the turn this season, so it, and that's how it goes. You know, like in the beginning it were Brandon and Harry and Beth, and then same again, Harry and Beth then. And then it were like, we were ready for his younger ones, like, which is what comes at the end of the season, and they didn't get their chance. And it's like they've waited, you know, like they've boxed on club shows, but like obviously they've seen Beth boxing in a national final, they've seen Harry and Brandon do well in novices, and they want their turn. And Raif, even Raif got to box in uni championships.
Yeah, of course,
but then the younger ones missed out on their opportunity. So there were talk of being a schoolboy championships before the end of the year, but again, it just comes down to like, opening, doesn't it? And are his boxers going to be ready? Are they?
I mean, if you had them in for 4 or 5 weeks, you'd get them there.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've been doing outdoor stuff with them, and like, I can tell they all look all right. It's just the sparring, really, it's the sharpness.
And there's no, you can't replace sparring, can you?
No,
not at all.
And with some of them at the moment as well, they're going through that growth. Like, some of them have shot up in like 3 months, and like, they will struggle a little bit with the coordination during this period, so you've got to like look at that as well. And
they get a bit gangly,
don't they? They do. I remember it with Harry, it was funny, like, he just shot up and then he was like falling over his own feet when he was sparring and stuff, and you've got to like look out for that. But I think in my head, I'm just sort of thinking maybe it's probably going to be January, but.
I said there were a podcast I listened to the week, and they had an amateur football coach on.
Yeah.
And he was saying they can't get back to, you know, just getting kids kicking ball. And the thing is, you could start football training tomorrow and have a game a week on Saturday.
Yeah.
You can't do that with boxing.
No,
you can't. Ultimately. And the other thing is that what with boxing, and having seen this with Beth, having never really experienced it, you can train and you've got a game every week.
Yeah.
That's same with rugby. With boxing. You don't get to do it anymore.
No, it's,
sometimes you've got 4 or 5 weeks. Mm. And I can't help but think that will there be kids that fall off a wagon with boxing? Because if there's no end in sight, if there's never that goal of fighting, having your first bout or having a bout, if you said to them it's going to be March next year before you start, would some of them think, I can't be asked?
Yeah, I think
it's a long time, isn't it?
I think they probably would do. Yeah, I think they probably would. You know, if his gym were open though and we were training but there were no competitions, I kind of treat them like their development and stuff, and I'd probably take them sparring and like we're working on stuff.
Yeah,
you know, like, so that would be the only incentive, but it's if we're able to even do that, you know, but we'll see what we think.
Everyone wants a goal, doesn't matter what your age is.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't got that goal inside.
Yeah. And it's all right, you're trying to teach them certain moves in gym, but sometimes they need a couple of fights before they pick that move up. And it's, you know.
I know, like, Beth and it saying it, but then first couple of weeks when we got to it, the bit that got her was obviously that weekend the England camp got.
Oh yeah, it did.
And I didn't realise it, probably a bit bad on my part. I didn't realise she had a bit of a face like a smacked ass.
Yeah.
and it was a mixture of school finishing and everything. But when it came to it, she really wanted to go to see what it was about.
Yeah.
And it completely derailed her.
Yeah.
You could see that it took her 3 or 4 weeks to come back round to actually, I've got something to work towards. But it's knowing when it is.
I mean, going off on a bit of a like tangent for what the podcast is about, but I went on meeting with Yorkshire Committee on Sunday, and a part of, like the Yorkshire team group, you know, like the part of the coaching thing for that. So Mike Brombie is like the main one who organises it, and I thought a really good idea what he's talking about, because you've got that gap between which is best age now, same for Brandon, Harry soon. You've got that weird sort of time in boxing where if you're not a Great Britain, what are you aiming for?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of them turning pro at 18, 19. So what I personally think is too young. I mean, Subby, a lad who I trained, he's turning pro.
I saw you put that.
Yeah. But you've got to take a time. You've got to have that man strength, that adult strength. So there's that weird time in between with nothing to aim for. So what Mike says is, with the Yorkshire, why don't we offer to Great Britain and England and say, we've got these good kids here. We've got 4 or 5 good kids. They're not quite national champions, but they'll probably do well in sparring, and they'll be good sparring for elites, which I think is brilliant. So then they can go and prove themselves to the GB setup or England through sparring. So that might be something we get.
And that
going.
Also probably, if you take those kids there, gives them something to aspire to.
Of course it does. Of course it does. And I think back in the day, I think they did, because Mike mentioned that so many years ago, he took one of his, and he said, like, look, he's not won a national title, but I know he's good. I know he's good enough, you know, to compete with all's inspiring. He's now on GB team, this kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he managed to earn his way in through that.
Because there's going to be also, I won't say generation because it's only 3 or 4 months, but like these kids could have been fighting all the way. They'll miss out on that experience.
Of course.
So
yeah.
Imagine, let's just say Beth be 17 and a year. If she fought a girl who was nearly 18, she'll have had an extra year of not necessarily being stalled.
Yeah.
So she might have had 8 or 9 more bouts, which in boxing's a long time.
And massive, big. I mean,
it's that experience. And so it's the same with kids at school, the same with kids that have, you know, we're in their first year of GCSEs, they've missed such a vital part.
Yeah.
You've almost got to change the rules to allow them kids to catch up.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if it's true, but my brother's got into a university based on his predicted grades, yeah.
That's so what they think they're doing on a lot.
Yeah, which is fair enough, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
But they're saying as well, if you don't like your course, because some of the coursework, you can't score.
Yeah.
If you don't like, I think, some of the coursework, they're allowing them the chance to go and do it again.
Yeah.
So... But again, I think that's quite good, because that's just common sense.
Yeah.
Give kids a chance, because it's a big foot up, isn't it, for what they want to do.
Yeah.
So
difficult time for a minute.
Yeah, and it is probably the kids more than anyone. You know, for all the stuff that we've got, I think kids have struggled more.
Yeah.
You know, especially they just want to be out doing stuff.
If you can't, like, especially like the really younger ones, they don't understand social distancing and stuff like that, do they?
Our next door neighbours, they've got some young kids and grandparents around all the time there. I think they're quite local. And I saw them sat in car at end of drive because they wanted to see kids, and kids wanted to see them.
Oh.
And what made it worse was the kids, and especially the little one, he's called George, he's two, he wanted to get to his grandma and granddad. And weirdly, it was probably worse for him then, because you could see a kid. They wouldn't get out of car.
Oh.
Then another couple of weeks, you saw him sat in the garden. And I was like, do you know what? Just have your bloody
car. I know.
Just I felt sorry for them all. Your granddad were upset. Grandkids upset, you think, bloody have you
heard? I know. It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. But I guess it's made us all think about what's important. But
oh, God, yeah. Like, even with the gym, like, it's made me realise exactly where I want to take it now and what I want out of it. And it's certainly money, it's time. Like, the amount of time I've put into it up to now, I want it to be like earning in a way where I don't have to be there all the time.
Yeah.
And I can spend time with my missus and my dogs and stuff and chill out a bit.
Do you know what the sad thing is, though? Like, money comes and goes, you know.
It does.
Money comes and goes.
Yeah.
Like, I was so stressed at start, but we've got by. Do you know what I mean? I've got two nice cars. If it came to it, I could sell.
Yeah.
So
it's
relative.
Yeah.
But the bit that's got me is to do. It's not about having loads and loads of money. I think I've reached a point where, look, if I had millions in bank, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to live a nice life.
Yeah.
And I want to have a nice life. But that means stuff needs to be open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to drive a Ferrari. I just want to be where I'm at, and I want to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Without the pressures of not being able to open.
Yeah, like, I've been, because, I mean, you know anyway, but like with the two different businesses that we've had going with the gym, because of the not for profit, we've been able to bring money in through the council and stuff like that. So I know that when we open, we're going to be pretty much starting where we left off.
That's good.
Yeah, which is what I wanted. I didn't want it to be, you know, like, I didn't want to be on his ass, but at the same time, I am pushing it where it's going to be a big, massive thing. You know what I mean? It's just manageable. It's going to go back and we're going to be able to take some staff on to help me out. And I'm hoping I'm going to be a little bit more chilled out.
Yeah, it'll be good.
If my staff don't do amazing.
On the 7th of March, I said to Joe, do you know this bit, first month where this gym's made a profit? And it was.
Right.
It made a profit from memberships and sales, but we kept spending money to get stuff sorted.
Yeah.
And on the 7th of March, I said to Joe, but first month where it's proper in the black.
Yeah.
And he went, really? I said, yes. And it's first month it won't cost us.
And then bloody shut for a
week.
And
then this happened. And I'm like, we'd looked at registering Trident Foundation.
Yeah.
We've parked it a little bit to try and do some of that. Because there's I look back now. We're going to probably open as the kids' school holidays start. That through day, if the kids could come in, I say kids, I'm thinking those that are 13, 14, 15, we're looking at trying to get some funding a little bit like you've done to open the gym up to them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's some good fighters in here. I'd love to have similar to what you've done with boxing.
Yeah.
But even if it's just that they come in and kick some bags with David, it's releasing that energy.
Of course it is,
Do you know what I mean? And it's sort of, unfortunately, it all stopped. So I'm hoping we get enough time because if I can get enough time between now and the school holidays officially starting, I can re-approach that again.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was something we wanted to do, and I'm copying off you.
You can. You could even, because it takes time to get the grants. You know, like, you might do an application. Yeah. It might take 2 or 3 months to actually get the money. But even if you just did it for free, couple of days a week, and then you gather your data, then you gather your evidence, and like, we attracted 50 kids over the summer.
That school that you did?
No, I'm just saying as an example for you.
Okay.
We used to do it on the field ed. Well, we'd still do. It might be like get 25 kids a day. But I now can go back to the funders and say, this is what we already do in past, but I want to expand on that. And that's just how you play a game with it then.
And that's that idea anyway.
You're creating, you're bringing money into your business that can pay your staff. And like, you can provide then things for free for people, and the time that you give to for us as fight team.
Well, if we know what's coming, the thing is, I can't even approach to do that, because if we do that now and then we've got limited personnel, there's a point where we have to make sure that the members can come in.
Yeah.
Whereas if we know what's going on, we can maybe plan that in advance. Because if we thought we had a downtime where there's data and goes, it's dead between 10 and 12, you go, it's 2 hours here, we're going to allow you to come in and train for free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe what we'll look at doing.
Yeah.
So
there's a few things I've looked at. I've got a call on Friday with a charity called Sporting Memories, and that's people with like early onset dementia.
Oh, really?
So what they do is they meet up for like an hour, these men and women, and they just talk about sport, or you know, they'll like watch old football matches and stuff like that, and it's to kind of like trigger them old memories. So I've got in touch with them, and I've said, because
that has
of
years to do in the gym.
Yeah, well, I'll give you contacts, because they've got a base in Leeds. So I'm talking to them on Friday, and like, now my gym's looking like a lot nicer. I feel like people probably would like to come through today. It's just filling that time, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
do you know what's weird how that happens, though? Because I watch small boxing fights, and I'm watching, like, you know, Nigel Benn and Big McClelland, and I went through those probably 90s type of fights, and it made me remember, oh, God, and I messaged a couple of old mates on the back of it that I watched those fights with as a teenager.
Yeah, you do.
That I'm not saying I forgot about, but we're out of my mind. Imagine doing that if you've got dementia, because they'll trigger certain memories, won't they?
Yeah. So they just have like little meets and stuff, and they might go off and play bowls together and that, but then another day they might go meet up at a gym and just sit, like at ours,
darts in office?
Yeah. you'll have your cafe soon, won't you? So, and that's what it is, it's just meeting up and.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple of little freebies teed up for us members, haven't we? Like around new cafe and stuff, so I won't say too much, but because it's like, how do you thank people? You can't thank everyone when we're in position we're in, but it's just giving them something a little bit back. So we spent a couple of quid and we're just trying to get some little, you know, little things just to say thank you, and we appreciate it.
We spoke about this, didn't we? It's like, I'm thinking about giving tickets to shows and stuff like that, you know, people that kept the membership going. I know it doesn't really pay for that, but it's something.
I think it's a token gesture to show to people that you actually appreciate what they've done.
It's a little bit like, even the stuff that I've done, that's what's kept me going. Like doing the stuff, like lugging the mats around, painting the walls, all that. It's like for the look on people's faces.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they'll be like, oh wow, it's not just.
It's not like we've just left it.
Yeah, it's not just sat empty. And I've just been like having an holiday for the last 100 days, 100 whatever days. But
yes,
Good, good.
We'll put Will to rights.
I think we have.
Is that enough for today, do you think?
Yeah, how long's that gone on for?
90 minutes.
Hour and a half.
Again.
It's just like a standard phone call, like Chris, isn't it?
You hang up first. No, you hang up first.
I miss you. Love you, no, I love you, Marlo. Right, cheers, lads.
Cheers for that, Jackie.
Thank you.